I could videotape you if you'd prefer.
I don't care what you do. Whatever I say is not going to be compromising. I won't tell you my deep, dark secrets.
I'm not looking for that.
But anyway,
she knows half of my, well, not even half. She knows a couple, so okay. That's about it.
Anyway, I've got 3 videotapes of Dave Jewell.
That's the ones I have that I wrote you in this email this
you
morning.
You do have those.
I think that's what I have. I wrote the word Jewel in quotation marks.
Well, they're very good, and you ought to sit, and there are probably 6 or 7 hours of them.
I looked at parts of them years ago.
Yeah. So, and you know, Gabe knew all that stuff because he basically started, he was a strong Ava Valor during all of the splits.
What was his position at the time?
Well, at the time, he was eventually regional director in Illinois and that part of the central part of the country.
Okay.
But he started out as a auto worker in Ford in 1925. He was born in 07, and he lived to be 92. And these tapes that were done in 99 must have been just a few months before he died, which is lucky. And Gabe's being interviewed there by the name of a guy by the name of Gordon Grimm. And Gordon was his assistant. He was assistant to Gabe.
His regional director.
As president, when Gabe was president.
Oh,
Gabe,
okay.
Gabe went on later to become international president.
Anyway, after Don?
Before Don.
Before.
And that's an interesting story, too. There's a lot of interesting stories here, and I'll try to keep it.
Yeah, when I told some historian, I don't even remember who it was somebody passing by this loggia table, they was doing something on AIW that it was kind of like, that's a very interesting thing. Nobody's done. They're really unusual.
Yeah,
there's some very unique aspects of this union.
We are really a microcosm of the entire industrial labor movement.
I think it's fascinating.
Anyway, Gabe started in 25 at Ford in Kansas City.
Okay.
And then he eventually went to Fisher Body, and he describes all those pre-union years, plus his own background.
Cool.
And then how they organized the Federal Labor Union down there, and all of that stuff. And he became very active in the middle 30s in the UAW AFL. And then during the...
So he and Les Washburn were close politically?
No, they were not.
Competitors.
That's another little side story.
Okay.
But probably in the sense that they both supported the AFL faction.
They both went with Homer Martin.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. And so so he can talk about that. And of course, Gabe was, being a little older, was not drafted during World War II, so he worked, and he became regional director down there, and he'd have to check the years, but it was in
Illinois and
Illinois, Missouri, and Indiana, a really huge region, went all the way down to Texas.
So would that Decatur be part of that?
Decatur was very much, that's where the headquarters of the region is.
Oh, okay.
So I spent half a lifetime in Decatur.
And that's why you had the coat on.
That's why I got the
right. Where'd you go fishing in Decatur?
Actually, Lake Decatur has some pretty good fishing in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to get my mouth shut. Sorry. Go ahead.
There's even pretty parts of Indiana.
I understand that.
I didn't know that.
Southern Indiana is very nice.
Southern Indiana.
Yeah.
But
all that old mining area. But that's part of what Rosemary's working on, is doing more labor sites, and she's real big in trying to figure out what to elevate Mother Jones and other labor history sites and kind of nationalize the stuff. So she's interested in some of the stuff we're doing in Michigan with Detroit and then Calumet and some other things. And so that's what she's kind of trying to pull together.
Well, anyway, Gabe Dave then became Secretary of Treasury in 1955 when the AFL-CIO merged, and we changed our name from UAW-AFL to Allied Industrial Workers in 55. And that was in the, at that point, because of our corruption, which had started in the late 40s, and the corruption was all at the top. It was not, by and large, down in the local or the region.
Wasn't it mostly the New York City area?
Well, that was another story. It was, some of it was, we had a region 11, which died, was out of Chicago. And that, there, Angelo Insiso,
right,
who was a crook, was regional director there. So there was a lot of company locals and paper locals and stuff like that, and skimming.
Was this really mob connected at that point?
Oh, yeah.
Or just personal? Okay.
Yeah, and then up here in Milwaukee, a guy by the name of Tony Dorgan,
right,
was really, he became Secretary of Treasury. And in 1955, Gabe replaced him during the beginning of the purge of the, you have to double check all these things, but then Gabe became Secretary of Treasury. And then in early 57, George Meany and the AFL-CIO kicked the AIW out of the AFL-CIO, suspended our membership, along with a number of other
Teamsters being most prominent. There were several.
Yeah, the seven. And
there's a couple of the main labor history books that have that story, not great detail, but
yeah,
they have a kind of a basic story.
And you will find that in our convention proceedings of the special convention held in August of 1950. In St. Louis. And at that time, they kicked out the entire, through election, basically replaced everybody. Gabe was one of the few, and this is where we get into some arguments over how, where Gabe fits in on this thing, because he kept his secretarial seat. He had opposed Carl Griebenjahr for international president.
Okay.
Carl was the regional director in Wisconsin. It was as straight as an arrow there was.
Uh-huh.
Carl was an old German type guy born in North Dakota and still talking in that,
okay,
in that accent, although he entered the Union in West Bend.
Religiously oriented, Protestant, Catholic, neither?
Immaterial.
Okay.
And I knew him well. He hired me, Carl,
okay,
in 68. And then Gabe opposed Carl for president in 57. And Carl won and Gabe stayed as Secretary of Treasury. The two had kind of formed an election of convenience and then totally broke apart.
In which way did Washburn go? Or it's immaterial.
By then, Washburn supported Carl.
Same thing for Donahue?
Donahue supported Carl.
Same thing for
over in Michigan. God, who was regional director?
Well, goes Walt Campbell for
no,
a while.
On Region 6.
Oh, I'm not sure.
But anyway, he's dead. Bob Kellerman ended up as regional director there, the predecessor to Bob.
I thought there were dead guys in there that weren't.
Was Les Enoch, and then there was a guy before him. So anyway, this guy, he was in
57.
That's a Michigan Fed.
These are Michigan Feds, but you were saying the region was Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll.
Yeah, it might have the name.
It has the list of the names of all the delegates.
Right. We'll have the name. But anyway, yeah.
Here's the names of all the delegates. Thank you.
Let's see, we were United Auto Workers.
Yes, 182.
Okay, 4. Randy Evans Jackson. Ben Harper.
I would know.
Well, they had Les Enox was there, and Les was with, would have been with Gabe. Region 6, the eastern part of our Michigan delegation was, they tended to be for Gabe. And see, Gabe was the disciple then of the region, the Illinois region. I have to go back and look at all this.
Mm-hmm. Would it be Aaron from 182?
No, Aaron, that would have been Region 7.
Yeah, Lansing's in the
is.
West.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
This has had beneficiaries in it, though, by the way.
Okay. Well, no, this would be pre-date. These guys are dead 3 years.
I thought beneficiaries would be like a spouse.
Yeah, but this, I mean, I'm saying years, I'm saying 40 years.
Okay.
They're gone. Their spouses.
Gotcha.
Unless they were unusual.
No, okay, I guess. Go ahead. Sorry,
and I can fill all those in. But anyway, so that's where Dave. So then, Carl stayed.
Do you want another soda, sir?
Until he was required to retire because of the contribution for age. And in 19...
This one here is the regular maple, apricot, blueberries, and blackberries mixed together.
All righty. I walk down. It's about a 15-minute walk, so I can have my pancakes.
Thank you. Really, you could walk to
your house? Yeah, I'm up about 6 blocks and a few blocks over.
I'm doing pancakes
to answer. I was hoping you'd offer to take some of mine.
No, I don't want
to. You want some of my pancakes?
No, that's the one. This was the one I was talking about.
Yeah.
That I thought we could highlight from, if you liked my idea.
What was the other one you had here?
What else do I have?
Don't you have that? This one that
I didn't bring everything I have.
But didn't I give you I have a business, a full 8-page supplement that we did on the history, which I spent a lot of time.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking of. I guess I didn't bring it with me, or I don't have it.
Okay, well then what I'm going
to
do...
Was that an insert to this?
No, it was done earlier. What,
okay.
Is there a date on that? We use that as an organizer.
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about,
Okay, well,
this was stateless.
If I don't have it, I can make a copy of it, so don't worry about it. I will get it.
Let's see what else I have. Here's something from...
What about interviewing Don?
Well, that's what I was hoping, maybe if we... So part of my thought was if we could go with something that would either show some video or show some written stuff that would excite Dom and a couple others, and it ought to politically. So what I talked to Lisa Jordan about this a little, and so she was very positive.
Everything is good so far?
Perfect. Thank you.
But like most unions, although this union's doing better than UAW, for example, they all still are underfunded, and they've shrunk all these departments. So something like education does mobilization and da-da-da-da-da, all these other things. So
it makes sense, too.
So,
as much as we lament it.
So something like this anniversary all gets done sort of shoestring basis, and so You know, and they're big.
I believe it's the 80th anniversary of the
Steelworkers Organizing Committee.
Oh, okay.
And in my note, maybe you didn't see the email.
No, I didn't.
Okay, so I wrote an email to try to summarize where things stood, and I was partly suggesting that I thought he and I showed up at this 80th anniversary and we had something written in our video that we could excite some people, and at the event maybe tape some of them, like Dom and a couple others, but also give the Steelworkers Education Department and some of their leadership some stuff to show that there's some people ready to do something on AIW's history. Because within the big steelworker history anniversary, this is a little aside, but Lisa Jordan's the education director, used to be university labor educator of Minnesota, before that Illinois, I think I've got them right. She's now the education director for steelworkers. And so they have in Cleveland coming up in May this event to do the anniversary of the Steelworker Organizing Committee. They were CIO Organizing Committee, like banking house workers, and they went years before being a union. So AIW to them is important, but it's a side sort of thing. And so I talked to her both at Lira in Chicago and then at UALE in Pittsburgh. We had one evening where we went to Steelworkers headquarters. And the president of Steelworkers spoke to the group and da 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 da. So she has an assistant, John something, I've got his card someplace, who was a little bit more, he could probably be helpful. Kind of basis. As I said, she would give blessing, but she's not going to do much because she's overwhelmed. So that was.
Paul Clark.
Right.
And he's in Pennsylvania. Just stay calm.
Well, anyway, Ray McDonald. And you know Ray?
Yeah.
Okay. Ray suggested in an email about a week and a half ago that he's going to Cleveland, and he suggested that Dom go, and Dom's going.
Oh, really?
And they suggested maybe I'd like to come over. I haven't decided yet because of press of other matters.
So you might not be able to go?
I'm toying with the idea at this point. But anyway, so at least Dom and Ray will be there. Maybe Ramel McCoy, and who was education director and has followed us closely.
After George?
Before.
Or George.
His wife still lives.
Yeah, wife. Yeah, I still see Ray.
Yeah, he's very active.
I know it.
He probably collected more signatures on the street.
Who's this?
Anybody else?
No, I got a guy that did that.
Did you? What you got, like? 4,000 or something?
That's what my friend got.
He was up there too.
Yeah.
I have even higher.
Okay, well then.
I haven't fixed them. You got.
Who
got
I'm going to have to tell Dan that he that Gloria is here.
Who got 6,000?
Don't quote me on that. He got many, many thousand.
Who?
Gloria McCoy.
Who? Ramel McCoy's ex.
Ex-wife.
Wow.
Who stayed in Milwaukee.
He's much younger.
Yeah. Anyway, so, but there will be no lack of enthusiasm by Dom to do this, to do something. Now, there is a, you know, there are, he was also had a videotaped oral interview. He was there for about 8 hours down in Nashville.
No, I didn't know about that either.
Yeah. So, he's got copies of that. I do not have copies of that.
Could you ask me for a copy, or can you give me an ask? Could you do an introduction, however you would do that, phone call, email? I met him, but so long ago, he's been...
Well, no, I'd be very happy to talk to Dom, and whether or not we... Like, I frankly don't want to give up my Gabe Jewell videos. You know.
I have a copy somehow, so we might have made copies.
So if you don't have them, you know, let me know in real
life. I don't have Dom. I have Gabe Jewell, and I have... But when you told me that you had Les Washburn, I go, I didn't think that. Maybe he gave it to Lisa.
I don't think so. I got a as I say, we've lived in our house for 48 years. And we have a full attic and a full basement. And we had raised a bunch of kids. So everybody's deposited. So we, the last few months, cleaned the place out. Yeah. They maybe will show up. I've got to figure out what the hell I did with them. I'm pissed off at myself because this I thought they were priceless.
This is the Les Washburn.
The Les Washburn.
Right. Oh, okay.
Because he spent about 8 hours with me, and I orally.
Right.
It's an audio case.
And all I have on him is I have some things I got from the UAW archives, him giving speeches, stuff like that, but I don't have.
Lester ended up buying the resort in Tomahawk.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So he's used to get over here a lot. Oh, hell, this is something I wrote.
I understand.
Or maybe Ann, I forget.
Oh, I remember her. That's right.
Yeah, what was Ann's last name?
Bingham.
Yeah.
She lives in Wauwatosa. And her husband's an employee of Catholic Charities.
What does she do?
Well, she's a freelance writer.
Okay.
And,
yeah,
right. She's done. She does a lot of stuff.
I also have some contracts.
I know.
More motor wheels than anything else, okay. But they're very helpful in giving senses.
Oh, yeah.
Salary rates, what procedures look like, health and safety documents, stuff like that. 74 was this big AIW 182 strike in Lansing.
Yeah.
Cornell may have a lot of those.
72, I mean, we have, so I've got, then I did a long story on Lester after those oral interviews, so I'll dig that up.
Okay.
And then I have every AIW newspaper I think I was involved in. And plus some prior ones. I also have what was left in Billy Salamone's home when he died. Billy was our secretary treasurer up until 1989. And he comes out of Harley Davidson here in Milwaukee and started in 1937.
That name doesn't ring a bell for me. I don't know.
Well, he was secretary treasurer. He's a unique person in his own right. And then the guy you should talk to, and I can get you a contact here, is Gordon Bram. Gordon served. He was on strike with me at the Milwaukee Sentinel in 1962.
Okay, and I read that interview that whatchamacallit did with you.
You're right. That Michael Gordon.
Michael Gordon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Gordy was hired by Carl Griementrog as his assistant in 1963. And stayed on until about 1976 or 77, when he had a falling out with Don, who was by then international president. And so Don fired him. It's a long story. Gordy and I were like this during our Sentinel strike. You know, he was president of the local. I was chairman of the strike committee and on the bargaining committee, so we were like this for 10 weeks. And then he hired me in 68 to go to work for the AIW, so we're still very good friends. So then come the 1975 election, and Gordy supported somebody else. Or he supported Don, but not very enthusiastically. And then he
that started. That Nick ran against Tom?
Well, Nick ran in 79. I forget if he ran in 75.
I thought he ran in 75.
Then he did. You were there, Tom.
Yeah, right.
And Gordy, I can't remember whether Gordy.
George hated Nick.
Oh, we well, it's like that, that's another story.
Where were you working?
I was working in Kalamazoo.
But where?
Kalamazoo Spice Extraction Company. It was owned by Paul Todd, who was a congressman, Democrat, who got elected in the Johnson landslide. And he helped found this plant there. Very progressive guy. Very good guy. Really super guy. Very.
So what, you worked there on the line?
I did everything. Well, no, it wasn't a big, it wasn't that big that we had a full line. We, you know, what we would do is get spices from all over the world.
Get what?
Spices from all over the world. And so any, almost any spice you can think of, you know. We were among the first to trade with China. And so we'd get these bales of cinnamon from China, and then we'd extract out the oil, and then we'd sell the extractions, or in some cases, the ground spice, the very, very...
You did mainly two bakeries and stuff?
Well, it would go to, like, Campbell's Soup and all kinds of places, any food company.
It's the extraction?
Mint. We did mint. We did... part of it is our most expensive spice.
Was extraction the reason that ends up in the IW? Because they had metal extraction
no,
in the West or
they
something?
Had an amalgamated
local still doing
that,
okay.
That organized a lot of...
What?
That organized a lot of food-related groups.
I didn't realize the IW had a lot of food stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we had a surprising...
Yeah.
I understand that, but I don't remember... I mean,
well,
most of the food stuff I did was RWD.
It was
so.
The one amalgamated local entrance, probably because of all the other AIW places.
Well, that's often the reason why any town. So.
Yeah, it was an AIW town, really.
Yeah, at that point. Yeah. It knows.
Yeah, I remember Yale. Right. Yep. I remember Yale.
At MSU at that time.
Because he was prior to Ron, right?
Same time. I mean, he started before
time?
Ron, but he lasted longer.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the other way around. Ron out last year.
No.
And I remember when Ron went to Indiana. I don't know if I was still there.
Illinois.
Or Illinois, yeah.
No, Neil started late 60s. And he and a guy named Daryl Tennis, who worked for the state AFL for a while, worked for AFSCME for a while, ended up being an independent lobbyist. Those two got started doing stuff at the FDR-CIO camp, which was the predecessor to Black Lake.
Yeah, well, I was up to Black Lake.
Okay, well, this was the CIO rather than UAW per se.
Sure.
And it was just north of Port Huron. It's where the Port Huron statement was done for SDS. And anyways, Neil and Daryl got started by doing that sort of thing. And then I don't know, I can't remember the time frame if Neil goes to school before or after with Daryl. But anyways, they both start their careers in sort of late 60s, around 70. And that's so Neil's there, but he doesn't retire from the labor ed program until, let's say, 95. I'm not sure the exact year, but that range. But anyways, in those days, MSU did somewhat what some of the other labor studies do in having outposts. So Neil Vandevoort worked out of Western Michigan's MSU office, and Jeff McDonald did our Oakland County office before Oakland University split out of MSU. And so we had those kind of two when I got started in Oakland, and Neil stayed there until, you know, say 88 or whenever they dropped having it as a work there, and Neil moved to Lansing.
Okay.
Yeah, they're having a memorial for Jeff in Washington.
Right, which I sent you, and I...
You did? Oh, you sent that.
And
I got it from somebody else.
And I was surprised because I didn't even know about it passing away.
Oh, really? Yeah.
No,
I didn't know Jeff.
Well, he left MSU and came to work for AIW.
Oh, that was the guy. Same one. Yeah. So then I did know him.
Oh, yeah.
So he and Ray both worked here, but weren't relatives.
Yeah.
We had what a fun group between the.
Yeah, you all seem to have a ball.
Jeff and I. Yeah. Oh, I don't know, Diane. I don't want to tell these stories. Anyway, those are some of those secrets I don't want to mess up to.
Well, Diane saw a little bit of it because at the time the School for Workers was the place in America that did health and safety training for unions. And so when all these universities like MSU got new directions under the Carter administration,
they went to Madison.
We came to Madison and sometimes did Milwaukee-related stuff. And because Jeff had moved here and because I had done some AIW stuff, I ended up coming here several times to do different projects.
I spoke at one of the national conferences, and it would have been in 1980 or 81. That was done in Madison. In fact, it was on the way back that I met Lauren.
Oh, is that right?
Right. Yeah, I did a big research paper on refusing dangerous work, and so I looked at the universe of cases reported in BNA from the 1930s forward, BNA and CCH, arbitration cases, and then looked at all the criteria that arbitrators use to decide these cases.
Where was this published?
I never published it.
Where was it? How long ago did it come out?
Never actually.
I never published it. I just like 300.
Well, when is the manuscript?
I still have it at home, I think.
Because somebody just distributed at Lyra in Chicago a thing on arbitration decisions on safety cases. And it was a manuscript that they're probably trying to get published, but I don't know.
Mine wasn't safety cases alone. I'd be interested to know who it is. It was just focused right on
refusing
dangerous work. Yeah. Right.
Could be health oriented.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Health could be safe. Yeah. Right.
So they weren't all, okay. I was thinking that as an OSHA issue.
Well, you know, because OSHA had a standard, of course,
right, exactly,
on that sort of thing, too. So I was comparing that with the OSHA standard.
Okay.
Then I went to Japan and looked at the same thing.
Well,
they had a law that was identical, you know, to ours, in terms of refusing dangerous work.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, their OSHA law was modeled on ours.
So how did they administer it, though?
Well,
better
so
than
I
reading?
Was. So I was looking at. So I interviewed trade unionists from the top of the island to the bottom, all the way.
Really?
Oh yeah. I was there for 5 weeks.
Who were you working for that did that?
I was at Cornell at the time.
Working as a grad student?
No. I worked in their labor studies program.
Okay,
so
but doing this Japan project.
Coordinator for their occupational health and safety program for Cornell. So, under
that's
Lola.
Right.
Yeah, under Lola. Yeah.
Oh, no wonder. Yeah. I never knew that.
Yeah. And so, and I still have a very good friend who's there, Ken Kuhar. We still keep in touch.
Well, I stopped doing safety and health stuff. We lost our grant, and then Scott Toby, who was running our health and safety, got tired of some things in the politics of the school, and he went to criminal justice instead.
Yeah.
So occupational safety and health is now done out of criminal justice and MSU instead of labor relations.
Criminal justice.
The official ration. The official
ration.
That's
probably where it belongs. When you think of it.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
The official. The official rationale was after 9/11, lots of money for emergency responder stuff ends up being criminal justice sort of thing. The real reason was that John Beck and Scott Toby couldn't take each other anymore. Scott had to get out. One of them had to leave town. Scott. But anyway, back to your list.
Why don't I go down the list? Because then the other thing is the AIW newspapers we talked about, they're available at Cornell. They're probably also fully available at the Milwaukee Public Library.
But you have a copy of them all.
But I don't have the older ones.
Okay.
I do have the ones from 1964, 68 rather, on.
And you believe Cornell has the older ones.
And then
librarian would be very helpful.
And I'm sure that the Milwaukee Public Library would have our papers all the way from the beginning.
From 55?
Oh, no. Way back into the 30s. Because it was published here, basically, in Milwaukee. I mean, the International was here in Milwaukee until 53 when it moved to Los Angeles and then came back.
I forgot about the LA years.
Then came back in 57. And that was one of the conditions of the AFL-CIO suspension was that the...
Get away from the mob and
we had to
Vegas.
Get back to...
Midwest.
To Milwaukee, and it could have been Chicago. Gabe always felt we should have done it in Chicago as being more central located. Carl, of course, being from West Bend and an old joinman, he was more interested in staying home, you know. So, anyway, those are available probably both places. Gordon Brim, I'll get you in touch with, and I don't know, I haven't talked to him for a number of years. We talked lightly because we had this. I mean, he ran Nick's campaign, I ran Don's campaign. So. And we were always, he and I were always able to communicate, and when things were going hot, he'd get behind the scenes and work things out. Anyway, the other paper you ought to look at is the Milwaukee Labor Press. Really.
Do you have any sense that there's a chance that could be digitized or anything like that, or probably not?
Well, the Milwaukee Labor Press, Don was there, who's the editor, at our meeting there. Saturday, and he's digitizing only back to right now, back to 2007. The other thing, we've got a very colorful history, you know, reality. We have got all of this criminal stuff, which we can get documented. You do know of the hearings, the McClellan hearings, and all that testimony is available. The whole business with the New York taxi cabs, which was total corruption. Johnny Deodato, you know, and that whole Johnny Deal was what
it was all pretend unionism. Scam stuff like the mob often did.
Right.
When they got tired of prostitution and gambling
and
got into the union rank.
And then during
all of... Is anybody
here
having anything else? Get your tickets over there. And then they just take care of it up front.
They
get next to the coffee pot? No, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's
okay.
Here.
There.
I got it.
Can we share it?
Get it?
Yeah, come on.
I'm
you're the guest, Gary. Give me a break.
Are you sure?
Aren't you on a teacher's salary?
No, I'm on a teacher's human salary.
Oh, yes. Can we bring him along every time?
I don't
know,
sir.
You could treat me in Michigan.
You said you're there a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's scary.
When I hear about this tent water, right? Tent water?
You're welcome.
So we'll come up.
Well, that's where I thought we could talk some, because there's a ferry that runs from Milwaukee to Muskegon.
Right,
right.
And so I thought we could do some of this on the high seas.
Oh, that's good.
We'll go back and forth. I'll interview them.
We'll
get out the
it
paper.
It's 2 hours.
It's 2 hours.
The one from here. Yeah.
Yeah. The Manitowoc one is like a long trip.
Oh, yeah. That's
we can get more work done on
that's
that,
the
but it's a little rocky.
But it's rocky.
Actually, it's less rocky.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. It's more stable.
I've only taken it. I've never taken the Muskegon one.
The one here, you know, is a smaller boat. So if you
yeah,
got
but it's higher speed.
Yeah, but if we got rough seas,
it can be.
All I know is I was in the Navy.
And
the only time I got seasick was on a reserve cruise in Lake Superior.
Well,
but that one
that's Lake Superior. That's not Michigan.
I can't believe even that.
Well, that was the Edmund, only time I got seasick.
But that was Lake Superior. Edmund Fitzgerald wouldn't have sunk here.
My dad was in the Navy. He was on the French.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was in during the Korean thing, a little after, so I didn't really get out. I was, it's a long checker, Navy career for me. My whole life was a checker. But anyway,
Checker Cab.
Is what you guys.
Yeah,
that's local. You made checker jokes all your life, probably.
Is that, is that 587, I think?
I think it was 5 something. That's all I remember is the 5.
564. Right.
564?
I think so. And
Checker Cab.
But, you know, we've got Checker Cab. We got some, and that's an interesting story, because when they went out of business about 1988 or something like that.
I thought it was in the 70s.
Well, I did stories on them, and there were stories in the New York Times about it.
Okay.
822.
822?
Well, it's Kalamazoo.
No, that was Harvey Mann.
Oh, 682?
682 was probably it.
That's Kalamazoo.
Were they Kalamazoo?
There aren't that many. I mean, there's...
What was your number?
416, but that would
there's 182 Lansing, 253 Whitehall, 404 Muskegon Heights, and that looks big.
That must have been Dresser.
444 Battle Creek, one person. 564 in Vassar.
Vassar?
Yeah.
623 in Jackson.
That was Clark.
Muskegon Heights, 644, four delegates.
That was, I forget all those Muskegon locals.
Detroit, 669. Jackson, 670. Grandy.
That was, maybe that was Clark. Or Kelsey Hayes.
Clark.
That was Kelsey Hayes.
Could be Kelsey Hayes, yeah. Clark was out of Milwaukee or Battle Creek, right? Clark Equipment was in Milwaukee, or not,
no,
Kalamazoo.
No,
Kalamazoo.
677 Grand Haven. Anyways, Kalamazoo 682.
677, I think, was
and
Walt Campbell's.
822.
I got T-shirts.
That's two people. Well, anyway, the largest by far is 182 in Lansing.
That was,
and this is
Motorway.
That was Motorway.
Yeah, but it's by far. At that year, the Regional 7 director is Theodore Shatney.
Ted Shatney?
Yeah.
I don't, was he, what year is that?
57.
Did they list him as director?
No, it just says AIW Western Michigan Region 7.
Oh, no, see, what we had were councils, regional councils. So Ted was, he might even have been a local union officer.
Okay.
Like Carol Vetter.
Like that was sort of a sub-regional council, right?
No, it'll be a...
It was a regional council?
Probably was regional.
Yeah, okay.
And then there's Council 7A with Charlie Swift.
Charlie
Swift. 7A and 7B, right? Those are sub counts.
I guess they were sub counts.
Those are the sub regions, yeah.
It's only two listed.
But I think Walt Camp, like, no, that
Walt
was
Walt isn't in here.
Donahue. Ed Donahue would have been the regional director. He may not have been at the convention.
I mean, at this point, Walt's probably Secretary Treasurer. Walt goes on becomes Secretary Treasurer of the State Fed.
Oh, but that's later years. That's way back into the 70s.
Yeah, you're right.
When I think Bill Marshall is.
Yeah, you're right.
Bill Marshall was my bedmate one night.
At this convention.
Long story, too.
At this convention, Fred Haler, the director of the MSU Labor Ed Program, gives an address, which is cute.
Well, don't listen, I'll tell you. You guys were something in there.
Oh, I know.
I mean, the school for workers' people, Madison was... Yeah. When I got a lot of... Well, when I got involved in the labor movement after our strike... you know, we really relied. I didn't know about that thing. I was hard as a rock. I literally took. Well, I had run a strike, so I guess.
Right. And you were a journalist and had writing skills.
And the I guess we flew you.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the other thing I do want to say just before we break up is that you've got a number of happenings in the AIW, like Checker, like, and when you go back to the AFL versus CIO days, the hotbed of the AFL was here in Wisconsin, and it included the Janesville Local 95, Kohler was strong, although it ended up CIO, and Brayton Stratton stayed here. You know, we had a strong and Harley Davis. So during that whole fight, you had these pockets of where local leadership for the AFL portion was strong, like in Western Michigan, like in Central Illinois, certain parts of Indiana and Cleveland, where, you know, they were able to organize and stay within the structure. So that is interesting. Then you have the whole business of the corruption, and then you have the stuff that occurred after the thing, the difficulty in organizing, because our opponents, our competitors, competing unions use the corruption against us more often than the employers.
Steel workers in UAW?
Well, machinists, yeah, whoever we happen to be against. So organizing was very difficult right after 57. It didn't pick up until the late 60s when we started doing a little bit of organizing and concentrating on it more. But then you have, for instance, I'm going to just list a couple of things that happened later on, which I think were quite indicative. We had the Springfield Royal Typewriter strike in 1968 that got a lot of attention nationally, and ended up with them. I'd have to go back and see what the result of that was, to be honest with you. We also had one thing I was deeply involved with was the Whirlpool situation in Fort Smith, Arkansas, which they just closed that plant, or are in the process of closing that plant. We had 6,000 members down there. Of course, that being an open shop state, it was a struggle. They were very instrumental in helping Bill Clinton run his first race, and Clinton spent quite a lot of time early in his career in the local 370 hall. And then there was a company back incursion trying to take over the union in the 80s. And Ray McDonald and myself spent a lot of time down there working on that. So there were a number of other, there's a couple of other incidents that I thought of on the way down, which I forgot to write down.
There's the one of the interesting events that took place here in Milwaukee more recent was the Bridge 3 that got fired, and that was, they were fired in the 80s, I think, and that involved Lori Drake.
Right.
And Lori works down in Chicago now for AFSCME, and so quite famous, and it's got a lot of attention here locally. There were marches and demonstrations around it.
Right.
Barb Notestein, I think, was or not Nelson, Marv Quindell was the attorney.
Well, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Marv Quindell, who works here.
Looking at me for something?
No, I'm just listening.
Oh.
I'm just listening and looking at you.
But actually, Lori, tell you a quick aside on Lori Gray. She was... She was originally Lori Rosen.
Rosen, right. Mike Rosen's sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was a cute little number when she first started at Drake. She was about 20 years old or something like that. And she and some other young lady come up to me and, you know, I'm a sucker for that kind of person. Even though I'm happily married with five kids. But Lori comes up to me and she starts quizzing me after some stewards meeting or something that I was at. And then I said something gratuitous.
Said something?
Gratuitous. I've got it.
Whatever.
Whatever it was. Anyway, came back to bite me in the ass because she used it. So she used it against me.
She used it against you?
Not against me, but against the... Because she was a young radical, see?
Sure, okay. So the headquarters were...
Yeah, because...
Were not necessarily.
Oh, I know what happened. And people in the headquarters were more... supportive of the rank and file rebels than the regional director Bob Johnson.
So who really undercut them, actually.
Oh yes, he did.
And sold them out.
Yeah. So
wasn't Robbins called with that?
Matt?
Yeah. Thank you a lot.
Unfortunately, I love Marianne.
I love Marianne too, and you know my history with Matt too. You know,
yeah.
He's the one who fired me. So that's the idea.
Matt did?
Fucking A.
You got fired?
Yeah.
What year was that?
That was in 2002.
From SEIU?
Yeah.
Where we were doing?
I was a union rep.
Oh, I did.
In what area?
President at one point. Right here in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee.
Yeah, local 150. So I was going to run against the president.
Well, that was smart. So that leads to a career in labor history society.
No, it led to going to WEAC where I doubled my salary.
So were you a... what we call them in Michigan. In EA, I'm trying to think. Uniserv director?
That's what I am now.
Okay. Yeah. But before that, you did something else.
Before that, I worked with the service employees for 18 years.
When you went to work for EA, did you become Uniserv?
Yeah, right away.
Okay.
And then I during that short period between the two, I mean, as soon as I got fired, I knew everybody in the city. Because the Labor Council had what was called the MALIC, which was we coordinated all the political sides, both affiliated and non-affiliated unions, so it involved the teachers as well. And so I was the chair of that, and so I got to know literally every labor leader in the city. And when I was hired from SEIU, I wasn't gone for 3 weeks, and I got picked up with OPEIU and Judy, who was giving the award. Yeah, burn it. And then I stayed there for 6 months, and then in June, picked up OPEIU. A
couple other things. So,
I was going to ask, what year was it that you applied for a job at SEIU?
Before I started working for Cornblue, it was August 76.
Oh, you're lucky.
That was a different union then, too.
Well, no.
Well, Michigan SEIU isn't too bad.
No, it was just modestly corrupt and incompetent.
Oh, okay.
Local 79 out of Detroit.
Right.
That's who was going to hire you?
Well,
So I had finished getting my degree from UMass Labor Studies Center, which was called LRRC, Labor Relations and Research Center. There's a variety of union activists and educators that came out of there. Harvey Friedman was the director of the program, and we were coming back, and Diane was starting at University of Michigan Public Health Grad School. And so we came to Ann Arbor to live, and I didn't have a job, and I was looking for a job with a union. At the time, UAW wouldn't hire you unless you either worked your way up through the system, or they just had started hiring some academics, but you had to be a PhD in economics. And Dan Luria got hired that way, and a couple other people that I knew. And so that wasn't going anywhere, but somebody said, go see SEIU. So I went over to SEIU 79, and I interviewed with a guy who was the assistant to the, it was a large amalgamated local, had all kinds of stuff, Paul Policicchio. And my interview with Paul went great, and quite frankly, as far as I had it figured out, I had the job. I was going to be a whatever kind of servicing rep they titled it, business agent. I was going to have, as far as I was concerned, ideal, being a Detroit kid, I was going to have the ballpark players for the Tigers and the Lions, Olympia Stadium, hockey folks, some hospitals.
I still love that old baseball park.
It was very cool. We talked not only about what contracts, we talked about parking place, I swear, that all these sort of things. I thought it was all set. And so I needed to go see the boss, who was Richard Quartz.
Oh, God, yes, I remember that from the AFL-CIO meetings,
So, so I interviewed with Quartz, and what I recall was that I was asked, what did I think of LMRDA? And I said that there were some parts of Landon Griffin which were kind of anti-union and came out of that, but there were some parts that weren't. To maybe make some sense in terms of union member rights. So I had no parking place. I had no ballpark players. I had no Olympia.
Yeah,
that was the that was
get
the end of that.
You know, I kind of got it.
So I.
Oh, you beat those old labor guys.
That's right. This was a bait question. Right? Versus his politics. Is he going to be a pain in the ass? Ask him this.
So, when I told Hal Stack this story, Hal Stack was the director of the Wayne State Labor Studies Program. Hal, of course, said that I was very lucky to. I ended up working for the Corn Blues at U of M for a year. And had great mentoring for becoming a labor educator.
Absolutely.
But Hal also said you realize that. So in Detroit, Labor Day parades were real big, and Hal said, I don't know, but I made a bunch of them, but one I didn't make, apparently Hal told me about, was one of the only times he remembers of a Labor Day parade where a labor leader was picketed by union members. was picketing Quartz at the Labor Day parade for being anti-union, anti-labor, whatever. So Hal said I was a very lucky fellow. So, I remembered the other thing that I talked
about. Stern wasn't much better. When he took over, it got worse.
Steve Early has a book out.
Stalin is what he was. Yeah.
Steve Early has a new book out, which kind of is the story about change to win and what a disappointment and what a disaster that's been. It's a pretty brand new book. It's well done, but it's just sad stuff. But there were a few people who thought it was going to be a new CIO. I must say I thought it was a bunch of BS. But the other thing that came up was there's one of you two is going to get called either by Shell or by Rosemary for a report on what I told them I taped yesterday.
Yeah.
And they said, well, maybe that would be good. But then they said, no, what we really want is a short summary. Would you write one? And I said, I would, but these guys who ran it, why don't you ask them? So one of you is going to get a call from probably one of them pretty soon saying, would you write up a brief summary of what happened at your program yesterday?
So. Well, I'm going to be preparing that for our newsletter anyway.
Right.
So, and that'll be done in a month.
Perfect.
So there's no reason you...
Good.
writing. I mean, you're certainly welcome to.
No.
Did you guys?
He knows what I have on my plate.
Yeah, good.
So I got a different.
I love working with this guy.
So Dave Elsler.
I never keep up with him.
Hey, have you seen Dave recently?
Yes.
What's he doing?
Well, I'll tell you. One of the things he's doing is he's still behind the scenes running the Michigan Labor History Society.
Now, who's Dave? Oh, remind me. The name sounds familiar.
He used to be the editor of Solid Air.
Oh, yeah.
Before that, he was
sure.
The editor of AFT.
Yeah.
And so Dave and I, Stephen Ron, are this.
Oh, you did that.
I didn't know
yeah.
This.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, Dave and I got to know each other real, real well during.
Yeah, I remember
during
the name, you know. Yeah.
During labor post meetings, we were on the board together and so forth.
Right.
And his son, my son's a professional jazz musician.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Good one. Yeah.
And
wow.
And his son was taking, who's about the same age, was taking piano. And in the jazz. I don't know if you ever followed
it. I'll follow up and tell you in a second. So,
go ahead.
So, David put in a lot of energy into creating this Labor Legacy Monument in Detroit.
Oh.
After the Working Detroit, we did videos and stuff. And one of David's more recent projects then was to help run the society, but also to help create this legacy monument on the river at the corner of Jefferson and Woodward. And so anybody comes to Cobo Hall, it's right there. And
is it there now?
Yes. It's just a few years old story. And there's some other sites, and one thing I didn't know is if you guys do much in kind of interacting between the societies.
We don't, and we should.
No, we don't, but we should,
yeah. Because I was...
Illinois is real good.
I have been closer to Illinois.
Well, they're the biggest in the country as far as I know, aren't they?
Because of Les O'Rear.
Right.
Because he and I go back to our... When he was still in the labor movement 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's 101 or something.
And isn't Rosen head of that?
Carl?
Carl.
No. The Illinois one? No.
Yeah.
No,
Edelman, Larry.
Isn't Edelman there?
Edelman died,
that's right.
Larry Spivak.
That's right, yeah.
Head of it?
Yeah.
Okay. But Carl Rosen plays it fairly.
But we should have a Midwest, we should sometime at least have a Midwest symposium or something.
Yeah,
that would be very cool.
That would be cool.
And probably do it in Chicago.
Probably Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago would be great.
That'd be very cool. So this is a brochure from David.
I'll contact David because I know.
Sure.
And so
do you want me to give you his email and phone number?
By all means. Where is he living?
Well, so to finish one story that you brought up, his son got his degree at Michigan, got both a bachelor's and master's, I think, as a musician. He ends up going to New York City. After a while, he ends up being the editor of the Musicians Local Union newspaper in New York City.
Following in his dad's footsteps in a way.
David, however, didn't follow the normal Michigan footsteps of having a cottage up north. David's cottage is in Manhattan on the west side. And so he got it sort of so that Michael, his son, could have a place to live in the city.
Sure.
But David spends now about just under a half a year, maybe 4 months a year, living in Manhattan, and then the rest in Grosse Pointe Park.
My son lives on 43rd and 9th Avenue, which is two blocks west of Times Square, right in Midtown Manhattan.
And that's where our younger daughter works.
Yeah.
She lives in Astoria.
At 1199.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, our daughter?
Our younger daughter doesn't do union stuff.
She works for a web and...
Okay. Our 1199.
Our older daughter works for the NLRB in Baltimore.
What the hell is, where is Jessica?
She wasn't there.
No, I know.
Right. I think she may have said she couldn't be there.
Okay.
We have an NLRB examiner on our board.
Cool.
She hasn't been as well. What I've asked her to do things, she does.
She did it.
Yeah. So just we got to ask her.
Just what she can do.
She doesn't like me, which is fair. I understand.
But you know, we have such a good time. It's such a good.
Maybe.
Field agent.
Oh yeah, that's what this for.
I think that's what.
Yeah, she's a field agent.
Is there a Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a sub from Chicago.
I'm trying to get my daughter off the East Coast and closer to Michigan, but
does she want to leave the East Coast?
I think eventually. She probably figures she has to come take care of her daughter and both parents in a number of years. But
well, what I'm going to have to do
if the agency continues to exist.
Yeah, that's true.
There's not a lot of threats there.
Well,
Obama keeps saying, well, you ought to make sure you develop yourself so that you can.
I don't have David's phone number in my phone. I have his address and his email.
Well, that's good enough. I'll just send him an email. Because we get to New York about once a year and spend time with our wife. Because our son is married and has an 8-year-old. So they really lucked out and had this great apartment subsidized rent. Otherwise, they couldn't afford it at 43rd and 9th.
Wow.
And big two-bedroom apartment.
Wow.
Which is on that subsidized.
Yeah, my daughter's got to find another place. She's sharing an apartment in Astoria.
Yeah.
And I guess that's okay because she can just take the train over.
It's a nice area, Astoria. Yeah.
But she's not getting along with her roommate and his girl. You know, she decides to be the same and then she leaves and she's looking for someplace else, but she can't afford much else.
David wrote this one. You can have that. I'll get any more.
Boy, they put us to shame. Look at that newsletter. Color.
Well, but they aren't doing enough events. They're.
Huh?
Yes, sir. You do a great job.
I think we ought
to give this to you.
That's it.
Give it to me and I'll get it. It's his membership. Oh, thank you.
Very nice.
Okay, you take care of those ones. Good for you.
Is that how to do it?
You get it right.
Thanks.
You gave us a check. We'll figure out the rest. When you kind of work for an organization like this, just send us the money. You get to be like an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I'll get this to Robin.
Yeah.
Can we take care of the kid or anything?
Oh, okay.
This one I did on the history of Michigan I originally did this a slideshow, then made it into a video, then made it into a DVD, but now the university isn't even carrying DVDs, so I'm going to just put it online soon on my website, but if you'd like a copy of that, I'll give you
this.
Well, it's got Kalamazoo in it.
Yeah, all right, got to look at it.
I did that back in the early 80s.
Do you have a website address?
I have a website, and it'll be on my website soon. It's on my business card.
Okay, I got your card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure you're using the right side.
Ah, that's great.
Yeah, use over. It's the very bottom.
Okay. All righty.
See it down there at the bottom?
If I can't reach you, I know where to reach Diane.
Yeah. Call me anytime.
Well, is that about it for now?
Well,
I mean, we could talk for years, but
I think we should get going to
have some for our next.
Seriously.
Or up by Grand Rapids or Pantwater. Yeah.
But if you want to, I can double check on what Milwaukee Public Library's got, because I know we were very religious in making sure the AIW paper got there.
That would be very helpful. I think the first thing, though, is to figure out this, what kind of pitch to make at Cleveland.
So you're thinking of doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I to me, that we, to make this thing really happen,
two things are needed. One is to get Dom or somebody else like Ray interested in it, and B, it's to get somebody in the steelworker hierarchy or this education department to say, we got to do something for AIW. Because we have to do something for PACE, we need to do something for da-da-da.
Well, first of all, I think...
So you would know that.
I think the best thing to do, rather than try to barge into their program, just because we I think we probably got it set. But I would say that what we certainly could do would be to maybe rent a side room for a couple of hours in the hotel for those of us, and maybe if you can put a pull together something for 10, 20 minutes we could view, and then discuss for who's ever interested, what four of us or five of us to start with, and then anybody else in the...
No, I think it's a great idea.
Just do it very informally, because you don't necessarily want to spend a lot of time setting it up, but you want to tease them into it. Mm-hmm. There's going to be no problem getting Dom, as long as his health is good, and so far it is, in cooperating 100%. You don't need to persuade him on that. Who else we can get involved? I'd like to get Gordon involved. I don't know what his health is. He lives in Arkansas now. Whether he's even interested.
When is that? May
24th. So you can't do, you don't have a lot of time.
No, I understood that.
And
that's
I don't have time to hear them all.
That's why I was thinking partly just to pull together. Just pulling together your history that you already did. Would be a good part of that. And
well, they've all seen that.
I understand they have. But the steel workers' leadership does not. That's who I'm talking about.
And you will have Ray and Dom and who else said that they were going to be here?
Maybe Ramel.
Ramel, yeah. So if you got those three, you can do the oral part.
No, I think that's good, but I think there has to be some, I think
and
having some hand-ups.
You know, Ramel is, you know, he's so forward.
For the steel workers, folks.
And, you know, Ray is very close to the steel worker leadership. He was very good when Lynn Williams was the president.
I made a copy of those pages for you, because that listed the members and had a little bit about labor education.
All right, go.
No, I think the person to sell to is the steel workers, because they're the ones who are going to make these happen for their...
Well, I'll talk to Ray, because Ray is better in than any of us, and maybe this would entice Ramel to come in, and maybe we can think of a couple of other people that might be interested. And then that might be enough incentive to persuade me to come.
Well, as I said, Lisa...
Because I'd rather be up at my cabin, if you want to know the truth.
I'll be working
again.
On the recall.
Well, I've frozen my tail off up there on Memorial Day.
Right. And it's going to be too cold that week. If you go the week after...
It'll probably be the most beautiful week of the
There's going to be ice on...
It's hot water that week, too, so we have to figure that one out.
I'm supposed to be in Pentwater, but I'm willing to give it up to make this happen.
I don't know if I am willing to give up. We'll have all our goddamn labor history stuff out of the way. I've got the big youth in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, right.
You can't fly from one to the other?
Not at my age. I'm beginning to relish some private moments reading junky mysteries.
Well, if I got you an airplane flight, you could read a junkie mystery on. Would that do it?
Well, I'll figure out how to get there. I'll probably drive. It's just 8 hours.
I can meet you.
I might even take Amtrak. That's a nice trip.
Well, if you took the Amtrak to Kalamazoo, I'd pick you up there. See, now you want to go too?
No, I got to work. I know I'll have recall.
As a matter of fact, we're in the midst of a recall election.
I understand. And what's it look right now?
Well, not good.
Didn't sound very good yesterday, reading between the lines, but I'm not sure I...
No, neck and neck. It's neck and neck.
We're behind a little bit by the polls.
Primary first?
Primary's
on the 8th.
That's just...
General's on the 5th.
That's just 2 weeks away. And Tom Barrett showed up last night.
At the rate
he made it.
Grandstand, purposeful late entrance.
Who's this?
Didn't even come with his wife.
Who?
Wife came later.
Who?
Tom Barrett, the mayor. Who's the Democratic candidate of Long?
One of them.
One of them. There's four.
There are four?
And the Dane
really
County.
Two.
Yeah.
Really only.
The other one is Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk, who's a great lady.
Great lady. Yeah.
And supported by all these.
All the unions.
All the unions?
Almost all.
Yeah, but I'm going to really.
I know one thing. A third is going to take it.
Yeah.
Is EA close to.
Huh?
Does EA stay close to the Fed here, or are they?
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's been no formal endorsement by the Fed, but early on we acted and AFSCME supported Kathleen Falk because she said she'd go all out on the collective bargaining law for them.
And what's EA doing?
Better on the environment.
She's better on the environment.
Yeah.
And I think a little more left issue.
Yeah. She's better on every issue.
And I've known her for...
Great
we
lady.
Formed, when Don was president in the 80s, we formed the Labor and Environmental Coalition.
Right.
In Wisconsin.
She was involved with that, right?
She was this public intervener then.
Yeah, that's
time.
Right. Yeah.
And she used to come into all of our meetings in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And we worked very, very closely in, I mean, my
total good lady.
Well, this was something that Rose talked to me yesterday about.
Yeah.
And she was saying that she had some things that she had given to your society, and then she had some things she gave to the Wisconsin Historical Society, and then she said, oh, I've got some things I still have. And she said some of the stuff that I have talks about labor environmental coalitions that involved commoner back at the time when most people saw labor versus environmentalists.
Right.
But
in fact, I would think that we're responsible, that little group for the recycling wall Wisconsin eventually passed.
Oh, very interesting.
Because at that time, virtually all of labor, while we still had some clout, opposed most of these environmental laws because we felt all the environmentalists were little old ladies in tennis shoes. I mean, it was a very definite attitude problem. And labor at that point supported the can workers here in Wisconsin because we had a significant can industry,
Related to all the beer.
Related to the beer, of course. And so...
Everything revolves around beer here.
Yeah, we got the lowest beer tax in the country. We have the weakest drunk driving laws in the country. Try to get any of those changes through the legislature, because the Tavern League is probably stronger than we are sometimes.
Anyways, Rose said that this story had not been recorded and that she had some documents and stuff.
Actually,
and
it has been. I've got the book. This guy came through and interviewed me and I got all that at the house. I got all the files from the labor and
stuff. She said she had some stuff that she hadn't turned over and that she thought, and so I tried to get her to talk to Steve, and Steve then pleaded, I'm overwhelmed with everything. I'm not working anymore. Meyer. And yada, yada, yada. Anyways, I then suggested maybe he might know some students that could do some interviewing, and he said I wasn't a professor anymore, and da, 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 da. Anyways.
Well, he's got to walk away from stuff, except for our stuff.
Anyways. So anyway. He wanted to do some stuff, and somebody should talk.
Well, we're both very close to
Yeah.
That's what she said, so.
Thank you, guys. It's been great fun.